Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. You're listening to session 5 of the Selling the Couch podcast. 5 is totally my favorite number.
Welcome to the Selling the Couch podcast, where our goal is to help you achieve your counseling private practice dreams. And now, the man who once slept overlooking an active volcano, psychologist and podcaster, Melvin Varghese.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining me for another session of the Selling the Couch podcast. Before I get started, I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's just unbelievable how much reception and how much positivity the podcast has received. I rehearsed this thinking that I wasn't going to get emotional, but you put out something like this into the world and you never realize how it's going to be taken. And just all the comments and the podcast, it hit the front page of iTunes. And that is just, it's something that's unheard of, especially for a new podcast. And I just thank you so much. All I do is merely facilitate these conversations, and I just came up with this idea for this podcast literally in the shower a couple of months ago, thinking of some way to help private practitioners, and it's just amazing how it's taken off, and it would be nowhere where it is were it not for you. And so I thank you so much for just tuning in. My guest today is Matt Mazak. Matt and I are podcasting friends, and Matt's kind of been the person that I've gone to when I've struggled with sound and how to get better sound on the microphone. Matt has over 25 years of sound engineer experience. He was initially doing a lot of sound stuff in college and then traveled with a few big name bands across the country, and now he has a lot of valuable, a lot of valuable lessons for us to learn. One of the reasons that I wanted to bring Matt on is, often I think we don't think about the quality of our sound, and especially on like a website, right? Like whether you have a video or are making any kind of a recording, often we don't think about how having good sound is going to make the difference for someone to whether to consider your services or not consider. And so after this episode, I think you're going to be a lot better at thinking about sound and also how to get really great sound. Matt's got a lot of great resources. And at the end of our episode, I'll link to some of the equipment that I use for the podcast. Thank you again, everyone, for your support. Here's my conversation with Matt Mazak. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Melvin. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks again for doing this. Tell us a little bit about you and your experience with sound and how you got to where you are.
Okay, well, I started in high school. I played in a band. I picked up the guitar when I was a kid, and that just kind of became my thing. So started doing the whole band thing in high school, but that quickly morphed into me doing sound for all of my other friends' bands. because I was the one that was such a nerd with it that I had all the gear. So that kind of continued on into college, and I did that on the side in college. That was my job. Instead of working, you know, in the cafeteria or whatever, I was the sound engineer for all of the stuff that went on at the school, for all the concerts and all that stuff. That led to me going into the radio and doing the radio show at the college. And then I got picked up to go out and tour the country as a sound engineer for a couple bands. Did that for a couple years, and then went back to New Jersey, which is my original home state, and got into sales, selling pro audio equipment, and working with some really A-list clients, helping them get their studios up and stuff and going. And then that led me around the country again, because that job took me to California, where I worked for churches and theaters and stuff out in California doing production, and eventually led me back to New Jersey after 15, 16 years. And I worked for a large retailer here that does music instrument sales. And then that kind of started to go away, and I started to do my own thing, and now I'm on my own.
You know, it's amazing how when you feel passionate about something, right, it's just that makes it so much easier to actually learn this stuff and do it. And it's cool to hear your story.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's been a fun journey, and you know, the stories from the road, as it were, it was a real adventure. You know, not everything that you hear is true, but a lot of it is, and it was definitely a wild ride. So I'm glad I went on it.
That's awesome. So you know, like I said, one of the things that I wanted for us to kind of talk about was just some of those things that you've learned from, you know, all this experience that you have with regard to sound. You know, I think a lot of times therapists in private practice, if you look on websites and stuff, anything that has any kind of audio, it's not always the best quality. And I think it's just such a small but powerful way, having good audio. That's just a great way to really stand out.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, this is the YouTube age. This is the content marketing age, where if you're in business for yourself, you have to have content out in the world. And, you know, audio is a big part of that. And I'd like to speak to what good audio is. I think we need to define good audio. In my mind, good audio is you don't realize it's audio. You know, if I'm talking to you and it sounds like I'm sitting across the table from you talking to you, that's the perfect audio in my mind, because it gets out of the way. And what a lot of people try and do is they try to overdo it, and they try to overdo everything and spend a ton of money to process and do everything to their audio, and it ends up sounding wonky and doesn't work well.
Yeah, so I guess what I hear you say is that it really should just feel like a conversation, and it should be natural. So simply trying to go in and trying to edit things, that's not going to produce as much of a good result as if you get good audio right at the start.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting, you know, when you're recording audio for like a podcast or for a YouTube video, if you can get great audio into the microphone and into that initial recording, that's way better than having to go back and fix a ton of audio later. People should, in my mind, should approach audio editing as fixing small issues that happened during a good recording rather than fixing the recording.
You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. Like, you can always go back and fix the small things, but you shouldn't be trying to fix that big thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, what are some of the things that you've learned? Actually, what creates that good audio right at the onset?
Okay. Well, first of all, I mean, I think the big thing is you want to be cognizant of speaking into the microphone well. You know, a lot of people approach a microphone and they're scared to death of it, or you know, that what we in the recording world call red light syndrome, where as soon as we press the record button, people freak out and they clam up. You know, I always say, don't ignore the mic, act like it's not there, and talk to the person on the other side that's listening to you. You know, just have the mic in front of you. So some of the things that you can do, and this is kind of dependent on what your outlet is, but for instance, like on a podcast right now, you know, have the right microphone, and that can be a little bit of a challenge, and there's some ways that we can, you know, help you guys find the right microphone. I'm sure, Melvin, you can link to one of the posts that I did on that that'll help you kind of find a really good solution really inexpensively. But get close to the microphone is important. make sure that you're speaking across it, not directly into it, and that it's in a good position where you're sitting up straight and you're allowing your voice to do the work. Now, on video, it's a little bit different, unless you're off screen. If you're off screen in a video, it's like a slide share or something like that, the same rules apply. I would use the same exact microphone I'm using right now for a slideshare presentation. But if I was going to do a video where I'm actually on screen speaking, I would use what's called a lavalier microphone, which you've probably seen. It's the one that clips on your tie or your lapel or something like that. And the reason is, again, you don't want your audio to be distracting. If you've got a big mic stuck in your face for a video, it's not going to project as well. You're not going to come across. Your message is going to be lost there. But with that little tiny mic clipped on your tie, nobody's going to notice it. They are going to be looking in your eyes on the video and getting what the message that you're trying to portray.
Yeah, no, that's such a great point, right? And the other thing is, it's just not as visually appealing, right? Like having this big mic right there, right in front of your face, if you're trying to do any kind of a video.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, get rid of every distraction because, I mean, as a small business owner, as a practitioner, you have a message that you want to portray. And that message is not, hey, look at my microphone. Mm. It's hey, here's how I can help you or how we can help each other.
Yeah.
So get rid of all the distractions that have nothing to do with that message, and audio is no different.
In terms of some real practical things, like, you know, I think for example, a lot of private practitioners, they'll have some kind of an introduction video, like on their about page, right? Or even it could be just an audio.
Okay, I think first of all, get your message really locked down to what you want to say. And when you get there, don't plan on recording it in one take. Get the microphone out and be ready to do 10 or 12 takes of it, because that red light syndrome is going to kick in. I don't care how many times you've done it. It's going to kick in sometimes, and you're going to mess up a word, you're going to stumble. There's going to be, you know, your kid's going to be knocking on the door. A truck is going to roll by. Something's going to happen in one of those recordings, especially the one that you think is perfect. So give yourself some time. Give yourself several chances to do it. And even when you think you've got the perfect one, do it twice more. That's what I always tell people. Second thing is, make sure that you can, again, just like getting rid of distractions, you want to try and get rid of all the potential for problems. So, you know, I have kids and I do podcasts. I need to tell my kids about half an hour before the podcast, hey, listen, in 30 minutes, the TV is off and there's nobody running up and down the hall screaming, you know, and I put my little, you know, my little red sign that I made that says recording in progress on my door so that they know not to knock on my door. You know, just little things like that. Anything that you can do to help avoid those distractions is best. You know, and also pick the right place. You probably don't want to record your video in a huge cathedral. You also probably don't want to record it in a closet. You know, so consider how you want the sound to come across, and record in a place that's quiet but not enormous.
No, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I had heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, just to try to be in a room that's carpeted as opposed to just all hardwood floors.
Yeah, now that is definitely something that comes up. I could really go over your head with complete audio nerdery, but I won't. Essentially, yeah, hard surfaces and right angles are kind of your enemy in recording. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the things I tell people is, if you're in it's better to record in a living room with couch and carpet than it is to record in an empty room. A little bit of furniture in the room is a good thing. Too many hard surfaces are a bad thing. The one probably big thing that you can do is make sure that behind your microphone, like, you know, inches behind it, is not a hard surface, and that a few feet behind you is not hard surface. So in other words, don't sit up against a door and don't sit up against a wall. You know, give yourself a little bit of space, because those two things together can really kind of play havoc with microphones.
Yeah, no, those are such great tips. And there's actually, Matt, you referenced it earlier. You wrote this awesome article on, and it was titled,
Why My $75 Mic Beats Your $400 Mic.
Yeah, it was such a great title, and I read that thing, and I now use it as a reference as I'm recording this podcast, because, you know, like this whole audio sound, it's all such new territory for me. And that article, which I'll link to in the show notes, has been so helpful. So especially if you're thinking about kind of creating any kind of a audio or video for your private practice website, is just such a great tool. And the thing to remember is that it doesn't have to be expensive. You know, it's something that you can get really good audio with inexpensive equipment. You just have to know kind of how it works and how sound.
Yeah,
works.
And that's definitely a big takeaway. You know, sound is one of those places where money can buy you a lot of stuff, but the more money you spend, the more problems you can create for yourself, unless you know what you're doing. And I wrote that article because, I mean, I'm, you know, like I said, I'm a podcaster. I do a lot of podcasting. That's my media outlet. And in doing that, I run up against a lot of other podcasters that have thousands and thousands of dollars into their audio system, and they sound like garbage. You know, I mean, or not, I don't want to say they sound like garbage. That's mean. They don't sound as good as they could with the right way of approaching the microphone, the right setup. For $75, you know, your sound can blow them away if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, no, Matt, you know, I've referenced that article, and we've chatted a little bit too, and just, I feel like even the small things that you've taught me through both, you know, just talking and through that article, is just, it's helped my sound, especially on this podcast, just take it to a whole other level.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And you sound phenomenal, Melvin. So that worked out good. I'm glad to be of help.
Hey, so, you know, one of the other things I was thinking, so how does actually having good audio, how does that make a difference for a small business owner? How does it make them stand out?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, just like anything else in the marketing world, in the business world, your first impression is your biggest impression. And when someone drops onto your website, whether they got there from a business card or a friend referred them, or they hit a link or a Facebook ad, they get to your website and that intro video is there. If that intro video stinks, they're going to bounce off your site faster than a trampoline, right? So the first thing is you have to have good content, okay? And that's key. I think you can sacrifice in the audio department a little bit if your content is killer, okay? But if your content is killer and your audio is killer, they're going to stick around longer. Because they have choices. People in this world today, they have a million choices for everything. There's nowhere on earth where one person is the only person doing something anymore. And so your quality speaks very loudly about how serious you are and how much you care about your business. Good audio, good video, good content is a winning combination.
Yeah, no, it's such a great point, because I think so many times, right, like this podcast is really geared toward new private practitioners. And I think that process of trying to jump in and start a private practice, when you know that there are already so many private practitioners in your area, I think that idea of creating good content and doing these little things to stand out is just so important.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, especially in your industry, in these private practices, it's a very intimate connection with your clients. And, you know, when we speak to each other over the phone, it's a much different experience than when we speak to each other in person. And if your audio can emulate speaking in person, it's going to be a much more intimate experience for the client in that initial meeting. And I think that's going to translate really well and get them more interested in taking that to a more personal level.
To use some of the psychology language, it's just such a great way to build rapport right through your website, even before they've actually met you in person.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah. You said something about content, which I thought was great earlier. What are kind of the ingredients, or what would you say are good components to, you know, having just great content?
That's a big question, because it depends, I think, on your practice. You know, I think... In my mind, I want to give my entire purpose for my business in the first minute and a half you're on my website. I want you to know the second you get on my website, right at the top of the page, why you're there, why I'm there, and how I can help you. Because I would rather have 10 clients that are right for my business than 100 that are wrong for my business. And so I want them to know who I am and where I'm coming from. So I think that's the biggest part for me in content in that regard. Now, that being said, further down the page and deeper in the content stream in my business and everything else, I want to add value. My content should give you something. Every single thing I post, I should be giving you something for free. And, you know, it's that whole, if you haven't read it, Gary Vaynerchuk, Jab, 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 Left Hook, you know what I mean? Or Right Hook, excuse me.
Great book.
You know, and he really hits a nail on the head. In this social media world, the best thing you can do is give, then ask, you know? If you can do that, not only are you going to help people out, which is great, but you're going to give people that can't afford your service a reason to come to you when they can.
At the end of the day, you're offering value. And I think that giving value, right, communicates a lot about who you are. And I think in a way it helps build trust.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and that's, you know, people can smell the person that is the shark and just wants to come in and take their money. But for the person that really wants to make a difference in someone's life, that comes through by how you give in your content. And it makes a big difference when you do make an ask, because now they want to go back to you because you've given them so much already.
Yeah, no, I love that point, because I think, you know, a lot of times, and this I think is so hard for small business owners, or even, you know, just when you're starting out in your early private practice, your first question and the biggest thing that you struggle with is, how do I get my first clients, right? And so already our mind is already kind of geared toward, okay, I got to ask. And so what you're arguing, and what Gary Vaynerchuk also argues, is that it's the exact opposite. You have to give. And by giving, you actually, over time, get more quality clients.
Yeah, I fully believe that. You know, a lot of people will call it karma. A lot of people will call it, you know, whatever, manifestation. But it is like what you put out there ripples back to you, you know?
Absolutely. Cool. Well, we're just about out of time. Was there any other kind of final tips for improving audio quality that, you know, that folks can take away from our show?
I think
show?
The biggest thing to take away from audio is less is always more. So if you can get away without adding like reverb or echo to your voice, do it. If you can get away without having to edit your audio, do it. Less is always more with audio. You know, and also, if you don't mind, I'd like to put a little plug in there. If you need help with your audio, if you really are struggling, you need editing help, I do offer services on my website at mattmazak.com. Feel free to stop by there. You can see the article that Melvin will link to there. And, you know, I'm starting to write more and more articles for that website. It's pretty new, so there's not a ton of content there, but I'm adding some every day. So you'll see some more stuff there. And drop by and check out, you know, what I can help you with. And feel free to drop me an email. You know, all the social media profiles and stuff, I'll give all those links to Melvin. You can link to those. You know, hit me up on Twitter or Facebook. Say, hey, Matt, how do I fix this problem? I'm always willing to help someone out.
Yeah, and I can speak from experience. I mean, Matt's been just so helpful, just willing to just spend time to just give any sort of silly question I've had about, you know, just getting this podcast up and launched. He's been so helpful. So thanks again, Matt, for coming on, man. Really enjoyed it.
Anytime. It's been a blast. Have a good one.
Hey, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Matt Mazak. I like bringing folks like Matt on that are outside of our niche, our mental health field, because I think it's just some of the things that he talks about, right, specifically with sound, they're such important and valuable lessons, especially in this day and age where in the land of YouTube and videos and podcasting, you have so many opportunities to get your voice out. But as Matt reminds us, that a lot of times your first impression is the best impression. And so my hope in bringing Matt was to teach you some things about getting better audio quality. Matt mentioned a lot of resources, including his article. I'll link to that here in the show notes. And the other thing I'll also link to is some of the equipment that I use. I literally have spent less than $100 on my microphone equipment. So, and I think you can tell the quality of the sound. So it's not something I'm doing that's exceptional or anything. It's just I've taken some of the stuff that Matt's taught me and then a lot of kind of practicing and trying to see what works. I'll include all of this information on the show notes page at sellingthecouch.com/session5. And if you do decide to buy any of this equipment, especially if you're thinking about any kind of audio or video, if you could consider buying it through the links on the show notes page, that just helps me to offset some of the costs of running the website and also the podcast. Thank you, everyone, and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.